columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at Six.
How about six? Six is good.
Cecil Lammy, our special guest, doing the Top Six, and we'll start with Adam Schefter. Is this an overreaction, or is Adam Schefter getting it?
I mean, it's already something that this country's never experienced. You know, we lost 58,000 people in Vietnam over 9 years. This virus is going to take more people in a matter of weeks than the Vietnam War did in 9 years. And we're talking about putting on a draft. And again, like I said, people who follow the draft, love the draft. I love the draft. It will be a welcome diversion when it comes off. I just don't understand why it's April 23rd at the apex of this potentially and not May 23rd or June 23rd when things calm down some.
Cecil, is Adam got a point or is he freaking out here a little bit?
No, I mean, he's not lying. They could move it back a month easily and 2 months easily and really not affect anything. There's not going to be any rookie mini camps. There's not going to be OTAs. You could push the draft back and still, you know, maybe have a better message or a better look. Maybe people say it's a little bit tone deaf. I'm glad that we have the distraction of the draft coming up, but if they wanted to move it back a month, it'd still be there. We'd still be talking about the stuff leading up to the draft. So, you know, I don't think he's too far off.
Well, today was a horrible day, and we're going to have more horrible days. There was a new record number of Americans who died, over 1,000. And on ESPN right now, they're playing video games against each other, NBA 2K. Is that all right? And if that's not all right, is that tone deaf? And my answer to that is no. Clearly, this is not a life or death situation being the draft, but they've already made some severe changes to it. Listen, if they wanted to push it back, Cecil, fine by me, you know,
right.
But there's horrible, seriously, there's horrible things happening every single day. We know there's going to be horrible things happening every single day. As long as it doesn't interrupt from taking care of things and as long as we're aware of stuff, I got to admit, Cecil, today was another tough day where school districts said in Colorado, no more going to school for the rest of the semester.
Right.
Well, I've got a senior, and that means no high school graduation, and he's an athlete, a spring sport athlete, baseball, and that's it. The end. That just ended his career as a high school baseball player like that. So there's terrible things going on all the time, and I'm not exactly sure where Adam is going here, that there's a time that's better and not as tone deaf. If the NFL wants to, the only thing I think they should be cognizant of, Cecil, is perhaps it's an opportunity to do something. And if they use it like that, fine. If they want to push it back, AC, it's fine by me, too. So I think Adam's got a point, but I think his point is to be comparing it to, like, Vietnam is kind of being outrageous to make a point that we already understand. So I respect my man, Adam. I know where he's coming from. He lives in Long Island. I know the situation in New York is more dire. But from a logistical standpoint, see, I don't know. I don't know why they would. You know, you can just keep going on with it. Nobody's going out anywhere. Nobody's going to contract the coronavirus just because there was a draft happening. You know, this is going to be happening remotely. Teams are working remotely every day, right?
Yeah, teams are working remotely. The Broncos got a head start because they kept their coaches at home at the combine. You know, so they kind of just lucked into that, if you will. So, and by the way, this can make for a better selection process because you're not going to get fooled by those in-person visits. That's where bad decisions can be made. Now, they can be made elsewhere as well. But if you bring a guy into your facility and he's really funny at the steakhouse and you take him to Elway's and he's, you know, putting on a show, and he's really, you know, something else behind the scenes or not the right player for your team, but you really got wowed in person. Nah, you don't have that now. So I think teams, the work's already been done. They're already working on next year's draft. So the work's been done. You know, I'm glad that it's still going to happen as scheduled. And people need this, man. How many notes do you get, D-Mac? I'm sure you get notes all the time. Emails, tweets from listeners like, thank God you guys are, you know, distracting me from this real life stuff. We got real serious stuff going on, man. And, you know, sports and football is that distraction that people need.
Okay, ring it, Kevin.
Cecil. Hey, Ty Law says Peyton Manning tried to get him drunk and talk about his defense. Here's the audio.
I got to tell you a story about Peyton, too, because Peyton would try to get you after you had these things with Peyton. And once you get over to the Pro Bowl, you're on the same team. Peyton try to get you drunk and then try to dig into your brain. What did you see? You know, what did you do this? Now? But he try to, he's, you know, it's on me. Try to feed you all these it was my ties. You know, he want to keep feeding you all those. And then he want to come to ask you and butter you up and ask you, you know, what you see and this and that. I was like, Peyton, I ain't falling for that. You know what I mean? I tell him like that.
All right, what's your question?
I love it. Would you spill your guts to Peyton Manning if you were getting drunk?
Yeah, of course I would. I mean, it's Peyton Manning, man. That'd be awesome. I'd tell him anything he wants to know. Peyton, you know, Peyton, come over here. If it's all right, as long as he checks out. I mean, you know, if he wants to, I think we're ordering some Brothers Barbecue tonight. Way to go, Brothers Barbecue. And, you know, there's a spot at our table for Peyton. I'll tell him anything he wants.
That's the ultimate competitor, right? That's what it says to me.
Do you remember when Peyton did the media injury report the one day famously at his locker?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he goes, D-Mac has a little bit of something going on. I am
downstairs?
Not
downstairs? What?
I swear to God.
Where is this show going?
I'm just telling you, the things Peyton knows are, maybe disturbing. Ring of Kevin. All right, if we're not talking about an offensive lineman in the first round, Cecil, who would be the most significant offensive lineman get past the first round? If you could get him, who would it be and why?
Well, a lot of people are talking about Ezra Cleveland as a potential second round pick for the Broncos. I'm still going to stick up for my man, Lucas Nang. From TCU, when you have that size and that athleticism, it's very rare. And if you're the Denver Broncos, you're in a power gap scheme now. Like, you need to stop looking for smaller, more athletic linemen. You want big, powerful earth movers, and you get that with Lucas Nang. So, to me, he would be that player. Others will talk about Cleveland. Others will talk about Josh Jones. That's fine. But as a card-carrying member of the Nang gang, I'm all about Lucas Nang in the second round if you can get him.
Love it. Ring it, Kevin.
Well, how about this? Rex Ryan does not like Amari Cooper. You got to hear what Rex Ryan said about the Cowboys
receiver. The Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell.
All right.
No way in hell would I have paid this guy. To me, you pay Dak Prescott. Forget all those numbers. That, you know, they're number one in the league because of Dak Prescott, not because of this guy. It's a deep draft at receiver. They made a huge mistake right here.
Okay. Should he have used the word turd, which he's already apologized for, by the way?
Yeah, I know. He was doing a loop, right? He was getting back on the circuit this afternoon and trying to...
Going through the car wash.
Going through the ESPN car wash. I guess if he's apologizing for it, he shouldn't have done it. It was enough for him to apologize. I think what just caught us all by surprise is that was said on, you know, national TV. On sports talk radio, are you kidding me? That is nothing. You know, that's
right.
And we don't go out of our way to call people names, even in sports talk radio. However, calling somebody a turd is kind of I don't know how to say it, Cecil. It's I get, you know, it's a criticism, but it's kind of a fun way to do criticism if you can go in that direction.
Well, it's a radio friendly way. I mean, doesn't Stink call people turds all the time? I don't know this. And let's look at the numbers for Amari Cooper. This is very interesting. The last two seasons, or actually three seasons, 2017 to 2019. Games with 100 yards receiving, 10. Games with 10 or fewer yards receiving, 10 for Amari Cooper. Cooper also is a guy who was held under 40 yards in 7 of 9 shadow situations last year, including a combined 13 yards combined against Stephon Gilmore, Jalen Ramsey, Josh Norman, Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, I wasn't. I know Mike Evans really spoke out about not getting Cooper here. I wasn't high on bringing him here. I thought it would be just the big money on guys like that to me sees.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, are you? I hope your offensive line is just perfect. You know, I hope everything is. You know, that's why the Cardinals getting DeAndre Hopkins is like, dude, talk about the steal of the century right there. I mean, what did you even give up? So, I wasn't bothered by Rex Ryan saying it, and if he feels like he needs to go around and apologize, he didn't have to apologize to me, that's for sure. If that's how you feel and you're a personality and you're on TV, I think that's what you're paying him for. Now, look at how many people are talking about it.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Well, and then when you look into the numbers, you see that Cooper doesn't necessarily show up in the way that you need a guy that's making that kind of money to show up.
By the way, on the second end of that comment that we didn't play, but the second end of it is how great Dak Prescott is.
Right.
He went on to keep saying, like, dude, if you're going to do anything, you know, wrap up Dak Prescott. So, you know, he was very complimentary of Dak Prescott, and he doesn't like Amari Cooper. Ring it, Kevin. See, what is going on in the Rob Gronkowski world? What is becoming of him? He was on The Masked Singer. He's doing WWE stuff. What are we going to see out of Rob Gronkowski in the future?
His own reality show? Like, seriously?
Well, I'm asking you. Do you think he's that interesting? Do you think he's like The Rock?
Not yet. Maybe like a young Rock, though. We have to remember the way The Rock was when he was doing, like, Scorpion King. I don't want to get movie nerd on you here, but, like, when The Rock was doing those lower-end type of movies, it was more just a novelty. Like, hey, here's this guy, and he's got the eyebrow, and he's got the tattoos, or whatever. So if you say Gronk could develop, The Rock's turned into a hell of an actor, right? I mean, the Jumanji movies are hilarious, and there's a lot of other stuff he does with Kevin Hart that's hilarious, too. But, like, if he's that early Rock, I could see that. He's not, you know, finished Rock right now. Plus, he's harmless. The dirty little secret about Rob Gronkowski, everyone knows he didn't spend any of his money. He just lived off endorsement deals. But he's just a big, lovable, drunk, you know, like, happy-go-lucky, fun guy. Like, there's nothing sinister behind Gronk. And plus, he's also probably more intelligent than people will give him credit for because they think he's a big, dumb meathead. That's a pretty good act to get a lot of money, and Gronk's keeping his name out there.
All right, let me give you a hot take on a Friday. Gronk will be back to playing football for at least one more season in the next 2 years. I don't think he's all that interesting. I think Gronk, you know, the times that I've been around Gronk and interviewed him, Cecil, and, you know, they're the Patriots. We were always around him, right?
Right.
He's actually a lot more soft-spoken than you would think, a lot more thoughtful than you would think. I think the whole Gronk thing is kind of an act, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's got the personality of The Rock. Not even close. You know, The Rock, you know, didn't go very far in his professional football career. But he's just a incredibly talented person in terms of his personality and how he does things. Yeah, I'm not trying to rip on Gronk here, but I don't think he's like that. And I think the interest in Gronk, dude, I give it like 18 more months. And I bet you we see Gronk trying to resurrect his football career in a couple years. How about that for a hot take?
Super hot take. It better be for Tampa then.
I think it's going to be for whoever's going to pay him the most money. I think that's what it comes down to with everything. Oh, ring it, Kevin.
Hey, Melvin Gordon versus Phillip Lindsay. Now, here's the thing, and I don't want to make Phillip Lindsay's sister mad again, because all I do is tell the damn truth about the guy. But here's the thing. If you're a Broncos fan and you want to do right by Phillip Lindsay, do right by Lindsay, because I think Lindsay could earn a contract at least like Austin Eckler, if not close enough to what Melvin Gordon got from the Broncos. He's not going to get that here. So if you're a big Phillip Lindsay fan and you want to do right by him and you know the Broncos aren't going to pay him, D-Mac should you trade him and let him go somewhere where he could be the guy, the man, and get that McCaffrey workload. The reason why I started the hashtag Feed Phil was to get him a big workload. Let's see if he can do it. It's just probably not going to be here.
I think if you don't think Philip Lindsay wants to be traded, you're an idiot. If you don't think that, the listener, you don't think that. Of course he wants to be traded. Any reasonable person would want to be traded to be given a better opportunity. Let's face it, man. The Broncos have been kind of insulting Philip Lindsay from the get-go, Cecil.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for his mom telling him he should just stay at home, which was, good advice, he had other offers to go somewhere as an undrafted free agent.
Baltimore wanted him.
He should have, at least been drafted in the seventh round where they took David Williams, another running back, which was, ridiculous. He wasn't taken by the Broncos then for David Williams, right? Ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a terrible pick.
So now the Broncos have doubled down on their insult by going with Melvin Gordon, okay? These are two huge moments, Cecil, of insult to Philip Lindsay. And I get the hometown thing. And let me give a little piece of advice to the people in Philip Lindsay's life. He made the NFL, not you. Just calm down with every relative of Philip Lindsay on social media and yipping and yapping. And I'm going to guess everybody knows a relative of Philip Lindsay who talks crap about something. And Philip's not. Philip's not talking the crap. The only thing Philip's got going on is a bunch of relatives in this town, Cecil, that can't seem to keep their mouth shut. So, dude, I love Philip Lindsay. We were banging the table for the Broncos to draft Philip Lindsay.
Yep.
And we were excited for him. We were like, watch him in training camp. It's going to be Califani Muhammad, please, we got Philip Lindsay.
Right.
And, he had the injury, came back. But we were so enthusiastic about Philip Lindsay. Still are. The problem is the Broncos weren't, Cecil, for whatever reason. Okay. And I think it really just comes down to he good for Philip. He plays the game 225, but he's 5'8", 180. I don't know,
85
maybe.
Yeah,
and he really, really, really for his future and his career, he has got to become a better receiver out of the backfield. Got to, or yeah. He's going to have a very short NFL career. Period.
Well, so, we look at Pat Shurmur's offense again. If you feel Shurmur is going to change, and that's an argument, that's hell, we could do 3 hours on that, D-Mac. Should Pat Shurmur change because of the talent that the Broncos have with Lindsay and Gordon? But if you look at his history, and this is dating back to Steven Jackson with the Rams, Trent Richardson with the Browns, Dalvin Cook with the Vikings, Saquon Barkley with the Giants, the backup running back, the starter gets about 300-plus touches, if not close to 400, at least back in the day. The backup running back in a Pat Shurmur system gets about 60 touches on average. That's it. Right. So you're going to have Philip Lindsay have 60 touches combined on the year?
And so now, right now, he's not a 1,000-yard running back.
No.
Right? Not right now.
No.
Right now, he's a backup running back. And, crazy things happen in the NFL. But, my man, you just want to have Philip Lindsay as a and you're going to, as an insurance sort of thing, and you're going to have a training camp, hopefully, knock on wood, right, in a year where if Melvin Gordon, God forbid Melvin Gordon has a bad game or something, you know what everybody's going to be thinking.
Right.
You want that kind of distraction? Listen, you made your choice. You made your choice of Melvin Gordon. I get it. I understand it, but you did make your choice. I swear to God, Cecil, the best thing for everybody, and again, I am praising Philip Lindsay.
Love him.
I'm telling you how good he is. This is not an insult. This is not I'm trying to get rid of him. But for everybody, Cecil, wouldn't it be better if you did trade Philip Lindsay and you just gave him a shot to spread his wings? And you know what? Sometimes, hey, Cecil, I wanted to get the hell out of Massachusetts to go to college for a reason. I just needed to get away, man. It was just good, and sometimes that happens.
Well, we know over the last 2 years they've wanted Royce Freeman to be the starting running back. They've wanted it.
Right.
And that's not going to happen.
That's another funny thing. What, do you think the Broncos want to admit they were wrong about a draft pick? You think they want to just say, oh, yeah, we screwed that up? Please, give me a break.
Yeah, and imagine if he was gone to, like, Baltimore or something, right? Does Baltimore win the Super Bowl if they had a Philip Lindsay? I mean, unleash Phil. Unleash him.
Right. All right, Ray and Kevin, wrap it up. See, now I'm just going to imagine something on social media, Facebook, Twitter, InstaFace, is going to be about how, you know, the fan hates Philip Lindsay and we're doing him wrong and all that. Boy, that is another, like, holy cow, man. Just calm down with the relatives of Philip. Holy cow. I mean, do they think they're doing him favors, Cecil?
Well,
seriously,
it's just not
do they
a good
think
look.
Helping him?
It's not a good look, honestly. If we want to rip the Band-Aid off, I'll talk about it. I don't want Philip Lindsay's sister to be mad at me, but I just tell you the truth, man. And the truth does hurt. This team wants Melvin Gordon as their feature back, right? We love Philip Lindsay. I think Philip Lindsay could get a Christian McCaffrey-like workload. I don't know what his body looks like after that, but that's what I wanted to see. We're never going to see that here. So what do you do?
Listen, if you have relatives that love you, and of course they love them, as they should, this is big-time stuff, you know? And, you know, my mom is on social media, Cecil. My mom is. And thank God my mom doesn't respond to every single person who is, you know, wishing me well every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I appreciate that from my mom and, you know, my other relatives. It's okay. You know, it's my thing. It's your thing. That's it. That's a wrap. We don't need other people talking about us or for us one way or the other. And the same applies to relatives of pro athletes, man. I mean, gee whiz. You know, don't make things harder than they need to be.
Well, and understand what a short period of time this is for his career. What's he play? 5 years? 10 years at the most?
Yo,
and guys,
ten.
Like, guys with Philip Lindsay's skill set come out of college all the time. You just mentioned Eno Benjamin. I mentioned Anthony McFarland. Again, not disrespecting Phil. I'm just telling you, there's other smaller backs that run really tough. Eno Benjamin was third in the NCAA in yards after contact 2 years ago. I mean, the guy can get it done after contact, even though he's, you know, compact.
Phil's not going to be the starter. The Broncos are going to look at, and if he's, I'm telling you this too, if he doesn't improve as a pass catcher sees, and Royce Freeman can sort of figure that out, hey man, what do you think the Broncos want to be proven wrong? Right?
Royce is already a better receiver.
The truth, man.
Could he be third string?
Sometimes.
Could he be third string?
And if they decided to pay Philip, rip up his contract, and pay Philip the money they just handed to Melvin Gordon, I'd be like, hey, awesome.
Way to go.
That's great. Yeah, cool. We'd all be like, isn't that an incredible story, and isn't that great? And, hey, man, you didn't really have to do it right then and there, but we're all for it. The Broncos have already told you what they think. Now, if they want to respect him the most for everybody's sake, and just end the drama before it even gets going, just make a deal. Get a fifth or sixth round guy, and you can draft Eno Benjamin, and away you go. Right? Cease?
Done and done.
Are you with me on this or not?
I am with you on this.
All right. My man, back at 7 o'clock with Nick, correct?
Yes, Nick Ferguson, Nick and Cecil tonight. Of course, more Broncos conversation, and interviewing Matt Waldman, author of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, coming up at 7:30.
All right, when we return, you know, some crazy things going on in terms of, you know, the right thing or the wrong thing to do. I'll fill you in. Details on it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
You know, something that is scheduled to go on, hoping everything works out, is a quarterback competition, and that is in Chicago. They have officially announced that Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, Tyler, will be an official competition. Isn't that awesome? An official competition.
Oh, it's going to be a fascinating competition, man. I mean, all eyes are going to be glued on this competition just nationwide.
How many quarterback competition camps have you been in? I'm going to guess not many.
I don't know if I ever had any. Oh, I had one. And it was like, it was teeny tiny, but it was Rex Grossman versus, what's wrong with me? Beck, the BYU quarterback. I'm drawing a blank right now, but it was Beck versus Rex Grossman. That's what the battle was.
When was that?
That was 2011 with the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Or 2010, maybe.
Boy, you don't even remember the dude's name.
No, he's like a friend of mine. We're great friends. You know, like, we're best buddies.
Super close, I can tell.
No, yeah. Somebody out there knows the guy I'm talking about. Beck.
Jeff? Jeff Beck?
Nope, not Jeff. Maybe.
Andrew Beck, the tight end for the Broncos?
Nope. Yeah. Maybe he had a twin.
Yeah, a twin.
Let me do this. Beck, BYU, QB.
Yeah.
Let's see what we get.
Who won that? Well, Rex Grossman obviously won.
John Beck.
And that's what it was declared, an open competition?
Oh, I don't recall if like that was specifically declared in the media, but it definitely was.
I just will never, ever forget going through all the OTAs and mini camps and everything, and it's the beginning of June, and here comes VJ Vance Joseph, and he comes up and he goes, I remember asking him, I go, well, you know, who's it going to be, you know, for going into training camp? I mean, we've had all this time to think about it and all this stuff going on. And he goes, oh, man, we're only about 5% done with our evaluation to make that decision. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, you start thinking about it in January. It's 6 months later. You got to be kidding me. And there you go. And we were off and running, and it became the decision. And I'll just never forget how the Broncos created this situation. And I just think it's ridiculous that teams actually create this situation. Oh, I don't know why they would want to put it upon themselves. I don't know what makes them make that type of decision. One of the worst things you can imagine.
What do you want them to do, D-Mac?
Oh, you just got to make your mind up. You got to make your mind up and commit to it. That's it. You got to make your mind up and commit to it, and then, you know, that's it. The end.
All right.
What do you want? I mean, what else should it be?
No, I'm not in disagreement with you. I mean, yeah, make your mind up and let's go.
So, I mean, it's different at other positions. You can have all sorts of competition, I suppose, at other positions, but...
Yeah, QB, it's just difficult, dude. It's... Quarterback, it feels like it should apply towards everything, but a QB, man, you don't want any confusion at that position. You could do it just about anywhere else. Like nobody would care if you came in and said, hey, we drafted a left tackle in the second round, Lucas Niang, and...
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Not right now, but I got a little breakdown. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Good stuff.
All right.
Okay, so you take him in the second round, you want to go open competition at left tackle, nobody's going to bat an eye.
Well, have fun, Chicago. I mean, I know what it was like here. I mean, for us, it was great, you know, for sports talk media.
I meant more specifically, who did you want them to go with?
Who, the Bears?
Yeah.
Well, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It's there. Why do I care who the Bears go with? You know, are you implying that I'd want them to go with Mitchell Trubisky because he was a first-round draft pick?
Yeah, I, that's exactly what I'm implying.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Are you sure?
It definitely doesn't bother me. Have
they really given him a chance, D-Mac? Have they committed long enough to him?
He's absolutely. Mm. No doubt about it. Well, he's been given more than a
chance. Yeah, I'll tell you what they should do. If they brought in Nick Foles, guess what? He's your new starting quarterback. That's who it is. I mean, you just move on, and that's the guy. You've already given up on Trubisky by acknowledging that you've got an open quarterback competition. Rally the troops around the new guy.
Sure. I mean, you know, at this point, if I'm a team like the Bears, I guess I'm looking back into the draft. I mean, it does suck for them. I mean, you have to go down as doing ultimately the right thing. And this is something the Dolphins are going to have to think about. Like, the Dolphins sit where? At five, right? And they have multiple first-round picks, so they are in a perfect spot to take a gamble on Tua Tagovailoa. Perfect spot, because they have other first-round picks that they can sort of back things up. If you only have one first-round pick, dude, that gets dicey. So the question is, do you want to just sit there at five when, just like the Broncos did, Tyler, and just watch somebody else move right past you?
Yeah, only problem, D-Mac, I don't think Tua's last until five. I think somebody's going to trade up to number two with the Redskins, or the Redskins might just take him at number two.
Well, there you go. And if you're the Dolphins, then you got to keep that in mind. And by the way, of course that's the right thing to do. And I saw some video of Tua today. I don't know if you caught that on ESPN.
No, I did not.
You know, he looks good. He looks all right. And
what was he doing? Was it a workout, a throwing session, or what was it?
Yeah, stuff like that. He was he was taking snaps under virtual center, you know, like a dude just handing him the ball as if he's under center and dropping back and making longer throws and moving around, looking athletic. But, you know, it didn't work. The Bears have to live forever with they did all the right things. They had the position of need, and they just did not identify the right guy, because they could have had Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. They could have had either of those guys. And, you know, obviously Mahomes would have been the creme de la creme. But even with Deshaun Watson, you'd be in a better place than with Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, dude, Deshaun Watson, that's elite still. That's in the elite category.
Right. So you did the right thing. You just evaluated and picked the wrong dude. And that sucks. And that's why, you know, the success rate of guys even taking the first round, Tyler, is like 36%. So I get it. I get guys that wash out. There's no guarantees. No guarantees. But it just seems like when you get in that QB competition thing. All right, let me ask you a tricky question. And we talked about it before. But are we going to see a similar situation of running back with the Broncos this year?
Wait, what do you mean? Similar to what?
With the quarterback competition in Chicago.
Are we having an open competition at running back? Is that the question?
Well, every day. You don't think people are going to be trying to compare and contrast Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay?
That'll last for so long as Melvin Gordon shuts that story down. Now, if he leaves it open, it's going to be a hot mess. You know, it's not going to be an open competition, so the opportunity for Phil is going to be very limited. When he gets out there, he's going to get 3 out of every 10 reps, maybe 2 out of every 10 reps, and as long as Melvin Gordon is looking pretty good during his reps, well, there's not going to be a whole lot of conversation. Now, as the season actually gets upon us, and we actually get to game day, you know, you're playing at home at Mile High Stadium, and Phillip Lindsay erupts for 60, 70 yards in one half. Okay, yeah. It's going to get pretty loud.
All right. In terms of where the Broncos may be focused on and where they're going, our guy Mike Kliss, he's the insider's insider. He'll join us next.
104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Today we talked to Mike Kliss. We have some differing opinions on where the Broncos should be going in the draft. Our conversation with Mike. Isn't Vanette here to take over for Heuerman?
Yeah, he is. And you guys kind of hit on it. There's, you know, it's a 90-man roster, and they don't need a roster spot right now. I'm not sure the timing now, because of everything that's going on. You know, there's not going to be any OTAs to worry about. They're not coming in for physicals. I'm not sure what you can do and can't do, really, roster-wise right now. But when it push comes to shove and it's time to pick your 55-man roster, there will not be, you know, Jeff Heuerman you know, we'll be playing somewhere else, I would think.
So if they
Vanette
were
is making Vanette's making $3 million. He's playing the same role as Hyreman, who's right. In line to make $3.85 million. You don't need two blocking tight ends for, you know, a total of about $7 million.
So if you were to release Hyreman right now, how much money would they have?
I don't know.
Give or take, of course.
give or take, probably. Budgeting in for the draft, I would say the $5 to $8 million of spending power type.
Okay.
You know, enough to get a player or two.
Yeah.
You don't need, you know, for right now, you can get players for $2 million, $3 million a year at most. You can get a bunch of guys for $1 million. So, but yeah, you're looking in the $5 to $8 million type range. I would think some of that you got to hold back for injured reserve guys after the season, and then others you want to hold back for flexibility on how you want to adjust going into training camp, how you want to adjust going into the season, picking up guys that are cut.
Well, it's interesting because we've still got to need a corner, of course, and we all assumed that we were going to pick up a guy like Prince Amukamara or somebody in that category. They have not done it yet, but another name is now available. Eli Apple had his deal fall through with the Raiders. It was going to be a $3.25 million deal, but, you know, a corner in the $3 million range, mm-hmm. Is that entirely out of the question right now?
No, that's not out of the question. I just don't know. I don't think they were in on Eli Apple before.
Okay.
So, you know, when he was a free agent, he had, you know, three or four teams in on him, and he wound up going with the Raiders, right? And it fell apart.
Yep.
And I don't know where the Broncos would be on that right now. That's a good question. They do need one more. And besides Boye, they were looking at, you know, before the Boye trade, they were looking at the Byron Jones-Bradbury group.
Mm.
And then when they got the Boye deal done, they were looking at Kevin Johnson for a while. They were concerned about his medical. So they still could go, you know, one of those veterans or wait for the draft and then go for the veteran. I would think if you're a player out there right now and you know, you're in that $2 to $3 million range. You almost want to wait. If you can't get it fully guaranteed, you almost want to wait till after the draft and then see what teams have holes that they still have to fill.
Mike, what should the Mary Mocksters know about how the Broncos think about receivers?
They're going to get one in the first two rounds. You know, I think I said on the Zach and Stokely show yesterday that, and I was surprised that this got retweeted a little bit, but the only thing I know about it is that everybody's top receiver board, it does not line up with the Broncos' top receiver board.
How so?
I don't know what that means. I don't know names. I don't know who they like, anything like that, but all of that's about all I've been told. It's pretty general, non-specific, but it's maybe they'll have a surprise for us.
Wow.
At 15 or 46 at the receiver position.
Well, let's think about that for a second. I mean, if there was going to be a surprise at number 15, I mean, specifically we're talking about number 15, right?
Well, their receiver board, yeah, I suppose you would be talking. I mean, at 15, you're going, I think, receiver or corner. I don't think you're going offensive tackle at 15. I think you're going receiver or corner.
All right, well.
So, I don't, you know, maybe that means Brandon Ayuk at 15. I don't know.
Ayuk, you know, Mike. Ayuk, not Ayuk.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'm trying to help you out because I've watched 10,000 more time ASU games than you have. But that's
yes, I know you have.
There's understandable reasons for that.
Ayuk, I think makes some sense for the Broncos in the second round if he's there.
Absolutely,
because he's a second round because he's a return guy.
That's right.
You know, I got to think Jalen Rager.
Yeah,
From TCU is a return guy.
What about LaVisca Chenault?
Yeah, LaVisca Chenault helps you in 2021.
Okay.
I don't think he's helping you much in 2020. So
Hold on, Mike. Mike, if you had to guess
core muscle injury was what Troy Fumagalli had when he missed his whole year. Now, I know everybody heals differently, but I think that's a pretty major surgery he had pretty late.
Mike,
he had it after the combine.
So if you had to guess, and I understand this would just be a guess, and if the Broncos board looks a little bit different, at 15, if it's a receiver, everybody has Ruggs. Everybody who doesn't have Ruggs has Judy or perhaps CeeDee Lamb. So give me a name.
The only name I could think of, I was looking at all these guys, the only one I could think of would be somebody like Justin Jefferson. You know, outside of that, all the top four or five, they're well discussed.
I was just going to say Justin Jefferson of LSU would be a guess.
Well, we really like Justin Jefferson. We were saying that yesterday. Yeah. And I don't understand why the number one target on the best offensive production offense we've seen in college football forever, a guy who's targeted 9 to 12 times a game, we don't understand why he wasn't where he is. So are you saying that's a name we should keep in mind?
I mean, I think the Broncos like him. I don't know what that means. They interviewed Ayuk at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed Ruggs at the combine. Judy, I think they interviewed all of them.
All right, thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
All right,
there you go. Well, even though Mike makes us nervous with wanting a cornerback at 15, we still love him, and we love Cecil and Nick Ferguson. Hey, hang on, those boys are next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.